Beloved hearers of God's word, grace and peace to you from the one who was and who is to come. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. I feel I'm obligated to begin this morning with a word of explanation about what's going on in my right eye. If you are far enough away that you can't quite make it out, consider yourself blessed and lucky this morning. earlier in the week, I just got an infection in my eyelid, and it's the eye that, in 2012, I received a corneal transplant, and so we've been kind of taking it quite seriously with my ophthalmologist. But I spent most of the week with it. This eye kind of all swollen shut, so it's a major improvement today, and I hope it's not too big a distraction now that I've drawn attention to it. It's kind of unique, as most of you know, I'm the chaplain at the Correctional Center on Wilkinson Road, and so to spend the week there with my eye all swollen up and red, and you know, it's quite an interesting experience. I have to say, I feel sorry for the new guys who've never, you know, been in our facility before, and the chaplain comes to visit them, and he looks like he's got a shiner, and they're like, wow, this must be a tough place, you know? I don't think I want to come to your Bible study, chaplain. Kind of wandering around looking like he just went 15 rounds with Mike Tyson. It's surprising, you know, we have a lot of black eyes and a lot of, you know, swollen lips and things like that, but it's not generally the chaplain who appears that way. So it's very funny to go on one of the toughest GP units, and you know, most of the guys know me, and so they see me coming in, they kind of take a look, and then you start hearing these comments like, yo, cut me Mick. If you're a Rocky fan, you'll get that that reference. But honestly, the guys are amazing, you know, we've been focusing for the last while here in the parish on healing ministry, you know, and Bill has done an amazing job of supporting that and supporting the healing ministry team. And to sit with guys who are incarcerated and have, you know, so many complex traumas and challenges, to have them hold my hand and to have them pray for healing for me, for my eye. Good prayers are always specific prayers, and I tell you, it's a very powerful and moving experience. So I just want to invite you again to really explore the ministry of healing prayer, because it is incredibly powerful. We have in our first text this morning in the Hebrew Bible, a moment, a very human moment, between the elderly prophet Elijah and his much younger student, Elisha. And they find themselves in a place where, as sure as every one of us lives and breathes and moves, we will find ourselves too at some point. They find themselves at a point in life's journey when it is time to say goodbye. It's time to say goodbye. And I think as I get older and has gained more experience in life, I've come to really appreciate how I think one of the most important life skills that any of us can learn is how to say goodbye well. How to say a good goodbye. Because I'm sorry to be the bearer of the truth, the hard truth, but every one of us is going to get many chances to practice saying goodbyes. And we don't always know how to handle them well. You know, every goodbye is different. I want to be very clear that, you know, I don't have any magic recipe, I wish I did, that I could tell you. Because some goodbyes are from, you know, some goodbyes are from situations or relationships or, you know, contexts where we really need to leave. And so the feelings that accompany that kind of a goodbye and a leave-taking are very different from the feelings that accompany a goodbye and a leave-taking from a really good situation. You know, when we say goodbye to a loved one, as we find Elisha having to do on this morning with Elijah. I am exposed to lots of goodbyes in my work, certainly as a priest and as a chaplain. At the jail, you know, we say goodbyes on a regular basis to guys who have finished their sentence and are being released back into the community. And while those are times of excitement and joy, they're also times, very often for the guys, of anxiety, lots of fear of the unknown. We provide structure, we provide support, we provide, you know, all the kind of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, all of those basic needs. And when guys leave, they have to provide that for themselves. They have to find and make that structure for themselves. And it's never, it's seldom easy. So it's not uncommon to see guys as their release day is coming up to start to act out, to kind of freak out as they get increasingly anxious about leaving. Sadly, I've also had to say far too many goodbyes to my friends and clients who have been taken by the opioid crisis. I doubt there's many, if any of us, who haven't been touched by it. It has been so prevalent. And certainly the population that I work with, it's hardly a week goes by that one of the guys that I have known and worked with sometimes for many years will be released. Sometimes they've been out a while and sometimes they've just got out. But, you know, the police will come and deliver the news that that one of our friends has been found, one of our clients, in a park or in a house or someplace much worse, having overdosed. Those are really hard goodbyes to say as well. So, you know, if you've ever lost anybody that you didn't get a chance to say the last words that you might have, wow, that stays heavy. I also say goodbyes to guys who are on their way, into the federal system. My work is at the provincial system, and that's, you know, 2 years less a day guys are sentenced there. And so if they get sentenced to longer than 2 years, they head to the federal system. And, there's always an interesting kind of goodbye that is said there because they realize they're going away for a significant period of time. And so there's fear and there's grief and all of those emotions that we feel when we have to resign ourselves to something that we know is not going to end soon, but that we must rise to the occasion and face. Really universal kind of feelings. We say goodbye to a lot of staff too, you know, and particularly at the jail, like many institutions, like the church, many businesses at this time, we have this enormous generational turnover that's happening as the baby boomers are retiring in greater and greater numbers. And so there's hardly a week that we don't have some kind of retirement gathering for a senior correctional officer or staff who are moving on into retirement, or sometimes folks that just have taken another job. And of course, many at the jail, I'll put it that way, many of the staff and guards and that at the jail are not particularly, you know, sentimental. So we have a particular way that we say goodbye to staff when they leave, and that is four of the biggest, strongest, burliest guards come in and forcibly grab you and take you out the front door. And if you've ever driven by Wilkinson, you'll see there is a drive, a roundabout in front of the front doors, and there's a giant fountain there full of water. and you get forcibly taken there and thrown in the fountain. You've got, just like in Elijah's story, you've got the 50 of us all standing around in the distance watching this happen. I'm not sure if it's a baptism to, you know, spring you into your new life of retirement, or if it's a kind of a drowning, and how dare you leave us, you know? But that's what love looks like in the jail. Yeah. Well, we find Elisha and Elijah today, and Elijah knows that he has to leave. And I guess Elisha knows it too. So Elijah says to him, I have to go on to Bethel. And, you know, God's calling me on, and I got to do this on my own. And Elisha says to him, I'm not going to let you go. I'm going with you. I'm not going to let you go. So Elijah, who loves his student, lets him accompany him. And they get to Bethel, and Elijah again says to him, you know, God is calling me on now to the Jordan, and I got to do this on my own. And again, Elisha, it's very human way that we have where we don't want to say goodbye, we don't want to let go, says, no, you know, as you live and as God lives, I'm not letting you go by yourself. I'm hanging on to you. And so again, they go to the edge of the Jordan. And of course, the Jordan is so heavy with symbolism. You can almost, you know, see the symbols floating down. The Jordan being that river that represents, you know, the entry into the promised land, the reenactment of the crossing of the Red Sea into, you know, from slavery and bondage into freedom. So that this image of it being the Jordan River that they finally gather at as Elijah prepares to go to the other side to be taken up to be with God is just powerful with symbolism. And Elijah turns and looks at Elisha and says, essentially, I know this is hard for you. What can I do to make it easier? What can I give you that'll help you? Elisha says, a double portion of your blessing, of your spirit. Whatever it is that makes you, you, I'll take two, you know? Because I love you, and I want to be like you. Again, when we have to say goodbye to people, often, you know, that's a very, very natural feeling, right? We think of all the things we love about them and all the good qualities, and the way we honor them, especially if they pass over to the other side, is to, you know, as the prayer book says, you know, follow their good examples. And that's what essentially Elisha is saying to Elijah. And he says, Elijah replies, you know, you're asking a hard thing. It's not really something I can give you. But, and what Elijah says here, I think, is one of the most profoundly wise things in all of Scripture, especially when it has to do with saying goodbye. It's so simple, and yet it's so heavy with meaning. He tells him, if you just keep watching me, and if you see me as I am, as I leave. You can go back and read it. That's exactly what, see me as I am, as I'm leaving. Then, you know, this might be yours. You might, whatever it is that you're looking, you know, to carry on for me, I think you got a good chance of having it. And so the profound thing for me is that I think what Elijah is saying to Elisha at that moment is that, on the one hand, you gotta let me go. You gotta let me go. But on the other hand, don't turn away. Be present. We can stay connected while you still let me go. And I think for me, that is the profound wisdom in that moment. You know, when we say goodbye, sometimes, I mean, it's painful, right? And sometimes we just don't want to show up for it, you know? Probably never happens where you work, but I know where, at the jail, there's lots of times when people are retiring, and funny thing happens, they get sick on their last day and call in sick and don't show up, you know? Because they don't want to go in the fountain, but but sometimes it's because it's just hard to say goodbye. And we're embarrassed if people make a big deal of it or what, or maybe it's just too painful, you know? Or when someone gets ill, you know, and we find that we just can't see them, you know. It gets expressed in a lot of ways. I want to remember them the way they were, you know, it's generally the most common way it's expressed. But, you know, it's a very human kind of response that I'm going to turn away. And what Elijah is saying to Elisha is, you've got to let me go, but you don't have to turn away. You can just be, just keep watching, keep your eyes, keep connected, you know, because you'll see me. And if you do that, then, you know, we'll still be connected. Elijah is taken up. He's taken up as, you know, this great image of a chariot of fire, horses of fire, you know. And I guess it's as good an image as any. If you've ever been with someone at that moment when they have breathed their last, you will know that it is a surreal moment. It is heavy, profoundly heavy with just the primal elements of life and death and joy and thanksgiving and grief and everything in that moment. And words fail to capture it. So I think this chariot of fire and the, you know, reminding us of the fire of the Holy Spirit of Pentecost and the pillar of fire that led the people of Israel out of bondage, you know, it reminds us of the primal moment where we shuffle off this mortal coil and move to the other side to be with our Maker. So all that remains is the mantle of his friend, you know, the clothes of a holy man. Elisha picks it up and rolls it up, and as he hits the water, you remember what he says? You know, where is the God of Elijah? And he slams it down. Again, is that a moment where he is praising God, or is that a moment of anguish where he's saying, where are you? Because this hurts. Scripture leaves it to us to kind of receive that as we will. And what we do know is that God parts the Jordan, provides a way forward, provides a path for Elisha to move on. And God does that every time for every one of us. I want to just make one last comment back to my crazy eye. As I started with, 12 years ago, I had a corneal transplant. And all I know about the donor of that cornea is that he was a 70-year-old man. And he died on a Friday. And on Monday, I received his cornea. On that Friday, there was a family that said goodbye. They said goodbye to perhaps a father, a grandfather, a husband, a friend. A painful goodbye, no doubt. But on that Monday, my family said hello to a new chapter, to a new beginning. I'd spent most of the year prior to that essentially blind in this eye. And for us, it was a new beginning. I mean, you can see the faces of your children and, you know, into the eyes of your spouse, your partner. And I guess what I wanted to me, what that says to me is that every good goodbye contains within it the seeds of a new beginning. You know, of a new beginning. And just like God opens up the Jordan and Elisha moves on with his life, God opens up that path for each one of us, the seeds of a new beginning. And I hope that the gratitude that we feel, the gratitude that honors the life or the situation that we say goodbye to, is always more powerful than the grief. Amen.